Happy Good Shepherd Sunday, everyone. This Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter, marks the halfway point of the Easter season. And every year, we're given this reading of the Good Shepherd as a reminder that the resurrection continues. It didn't just happen on Easter Sunday. And so we're reminded today that we have a Good Shepherd who's among us and who's desiring to save us and resurrect us from our sins. Now, even though I was born and raised in Wyoming, I don't really know anything about sheep. They have more sheep there than people, they say. What I do know about shepherding or about a farmer who has cattle, what I do know is that you have a herd or you have a flock for your own livelihood. Right? You harvest their wool, you sell them for butcher so that you can raise your family. So you have a source of economic income. If it gets bad enough, you'll butcher one of your sheep or one of your cows so that your family can eat. The first thing about Jesus as being the Good Shepherd that should shock us is that it's completely opposite for him. He gains nothing from us. He doesn't need anything from you or from me. He's perfect in himself. It's all for our benefit. We gain it all. He doesn't slaughter us for his own need. He actually lays his own life down to feed us. He doesn't exploit us. He gives us his grace and makes us much richer than we ever would have been before. You know, there's a story that I heard way back in the 90s when I was young. It's a story about a young woman who had a terrible cancer. And the cancer got so bad that eventually she needed a blood transfusion kind of on short notice. And so they tested all of her family who was there. And the only one who had a blood type match was her younger brother. And the younger brother was not that old, just a little boy. So the parents, the doctor asked the little boy, "Would you be willing to give blood for your sister?" And to their surprise, he said, "Can I think about it?" They're like, "Oh, I guess. Think about it tonight, and tomorrow morning, we'll do whatever you want to do." Little boy went to bed. The next morning, he woke up. He told his parents, "I'll give blood for my sister." I said, "Okay, good." So they took him in to the doctor's office. They laid him down on his little chair. And as the nurse drew his blood and his blood started to go through the tubes, the little boy closed his eyes. A few minutes later, the doctor walked in just to see how everything was going. And the little boy opened his eyes and he said, "Doctor, when do I start to die?" The little boy didn't understand that giving his blood, right, didn't mean giving his life for his sister. But amazingly, he was prepared to give his life for his sister. He was prepared to lay down his life for his sister because he loved her. It's incredible what Jesus has done for us. He knows what it takes to save us. He's not ignorant. And he lays down his life anyways, because that's how much he loves us. And that means we can ask him for anything. Right? He is the Good Shepherd. He knows what it takes to save us from our sins. He's already laid down his life. He showed us that on Good Friday. And so we're free to ask him to save us and to raise us up. Another aspect of this Good Shepherd, right, is that Jesus is always among us, Right? It's not like he has to take a day off. He's walking among us. He's beside us. He's journeying with us at every single step of the way. And he calls us by name. He says, Stephen, where are you? Right? No matter how far I think I wander, he is right next to me, still calling me by name, personally, individually, reaching out to me to save me. Think here, we all have examples of this in our own lives. Think about that family member, that friend, spouse, child, who is doing things to themselves that hurt themselves, who have wandered so far away from God and his church and from you and from your family. Yet at the same time, as far as that person seems far off, especially if you ask them, they seem miles away. How often do our own hearts cry out, just ask me for help? Just ask me for help. I'm right here, and I'll take you back in an instant. That's how Jesus treats each of us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He's closer to us than we are to ourselves. And so there's never an excuse not to turn to him and say, Jesus, help me. I feel a long ways away. Save me. What does it require of us? I trust that most of you have seen a toddler try to tie their shoes for the first time. What happens every time they sit down, they put their shoes on, they're trying to tie it, and after you watch them try 10 times, you're like, Tommy, how about I help you to tie your shoes? And Tommy's like, no, I'm doing it on my own. I'm going to get it. And you're like, are you sure, Tommy? Because I've seen you try, and I don't know if you know how to tie your shoes yet. Let me help show you. And Tommy just gets harder. Right? I don't need your help. Get away from me. And you're looking at Tommy like, Tommy, you don't even have your shoes on the right feet. Right? I know you're not going to get it. Our response to Jesus as the Good Shepherd is one of surrender. Just like the little child that has to give up, he has to surrender to his parent who wants to just help him. So too, we have to surrender to Jesus. Now, I want you to hear me very clearly. I'm not talking about surrendering to sin or surrendering to loneliness or surrendering to isolation. Surrendering to Jesus, the only one who can actually help you and save you. And so today, that's what we pray for. We pray, Jesus, I surrender. I surrender. I want you to save me. I want you to give me your resurrection, your new life, so that I can be full of joy and so that I can share that joy with everyone I meet.